Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track, and the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Wednesday, kicking off week three up here at Saratoga. Should be a fun morning in here with Racing Across America. A little bit later on, our friend Kevin Cox will join us, his bi-weekly visit to do a little handicapping. That comes up shortly. And then towards the end of the program, we'll be joined by Bill Gallo, Director of Racing for the National Steeplechase Association. Talk a little bit about today's race, go back and do a little recap of the Smithwick and whatnot with Bill coming up a little bit later on. And we'll talk some jumps at the top of the show and more with our friend Joe Clancy, part of the rotation on Wednesdays for the Saratoga Special. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. And when you came up on stage, you gave us a little more information that you were actually kind of a Timonium regular early on.
Yeah, we were there with a string of horses the last year. Timonium just runs the short meet now, and they used to run a 40- or 50-day meet. And in 1983, man, that's a long time ago now, I was there with a string of horses with my dad, and we were there all summer, which was great. And it was my last summer before college, and Anthony's right about the state fair and the Ferris wheel and the sideshows, and we never had steak in a cup. I think I had taco in a bag, though, definitely.
That's
and,
close enough.
A few others, maybe something else on a stick. I can't remember, but great place if you get a chance. Obviously, it competes with Saratoga a little bit now, but it's a great place to go watch racing. It's a 5/8 mile track, so the horses are always right there, even when they're all the way on the backside. They're right there, and they do a great job. It's a cool family day out every day you're there, and fun day of racing.
And you talked about it before, but you reminisce a little bit. As a kid, you follow your father around with the horses, and part of that was coming up here, too.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier because somebody came up for the jump race, and they are staying in Cambridge to save some money, and I think that's where my dad would stay when we would come up in the horse fan. We were out.
That sounds big country.
We were out the other side of Schuylerville because I remember going across a couple locks and things like that in the big horse fan that we probably weren't supposed to, and trying to find Lassie's Motor Lodge was one hotel, and the other was the Blue Spruce. So that was a long time ago, but those were fun times. We would come up, and again, it's really short meet. Ride up with the horses in the back of the horse van. People would stop and ask you who you had in the back on the Northway toll, and wait, you know, no easy pass. You're waiting in line in a van with the door open, and hey, who you got up there? And you'd talk about your horse. You know, it was fun. Different times for sure, but a lot of fun.
However, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because I was laughing talking to you in the Winner's Circle the other day. I said I'm sitting in the press box like a week or so ago, and I look down, and in front of me are the Saratoga Special intern group sitting there, and a young guy walks in, and I did a double take, and it was like, it's a young Joe Clancy, and I said to you, that has to be your son, and sure enough, he's like, yeah, I was going to say he's like a mini-me, but he's not mini.
No, he's a tall me. Nolan Clancy just graduated from University of Maryland, journalism degree. I don't think he wants to pursue a horse racing career, but he's up here off and on for the summer, going to help us out with some recaps and things, and having fun with it. He and Dave Grenning, both Terps, so that was kind of fun, and just to see Nolan out talking to people. He interviewed Eric Asmussen the other day after that 2-year-old Blazer won, and it's kind of fun to see next generation, both of them talking to each other. So he'll be back up. He went home to move out of his college apartment. Thank you to my wife, Sam, for putting up with that. We'll be back up here later and covering some races and seeing what else we can do.
It all comes full circle with the family coming up to Saratoga. Very good. Let's go. And again, Saratoga Special. You can pick it up all around town. You can certainly pick it up at the track or get it online at thisishorseracing.com. And let's just talk about, because, again, we'll talk to jumpers in a minute because you have some expertise there. But you guys cover everything start to finish on the track. And so let's go back to last weekend. We'll pull up a replay of the Shoe V. I took a shot with Clarier. And she had overcome situations, pace situations.
And Nest floats to the center of the track.
Certainly
Clarier,
the Applegloss.
Two lengths behind in second.
I guess it's
second,
a different level, maybe, when the pace situation is you're chasing Nest down in the stretch at Saratoga. So it does wind up to be Nest. But I said, this is not the kind of race where you're going to jump in with much betting gusto, but it's going to be a great race with two great horses. Turned out that way. But now this filly and mare division becomes very interesting with Nest impressive on the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were ever thinking she was vulnerable, I guess, based on her two races here last year, I know they were three-year-old fillies, but she was brilliant,
yeah.
You know. And but coming back off the long layoff, Todd Pletcher talked to us about how she got sick and they, you know, had to just scrap the whole thought of running in the spring and even early summer. And to see her come back and deliver like that against Clarier, who's, you know, no slouch whatsoever. And I think the tactics benefited Nest. She was obviously ready. The layoff didn't matter. It'll be interesting to see what happens with a bigger field, maybe a little more pace to run at, and you know how good Clarier is. She'll come back swinging, I'm sure.
Will we get a bigger field, though?
I hope so.
If these two are showing up.
It's tricky. Someday, somewhere down the line, we will. Yeah,
Breeders' Cup,
maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, going back to Saturday, Coaching Club American Oaks, pretty mischievous again. Seems to be the leader in the division, but I think Wet Paint with the victory the other day kind of established herself as right there, and so the rest of the year kind of plays out interesting. But Wet Paint with a nice rebound looked good on Saturday.
Yeah, and the Godolphin horses, good. They were able to split those fillies up, and Wet Paint did that, and then Pretty Mischief's going to come back in a test. Nice luxury to have, I think, for that stable. She ran great, too. I mean, and again, you might have said she was up against it a little bit pace-wise when Hoosier Philly came out. Wet Paint always kind of comes from the back. Here she is grinding into this, and Sacred Wish. I watched George Weaver trying to get Sacred Wish home, and he was doing all he could, and she ran great, was really brave. But then you just see Wet Paint so relentless here down the stretch and gets her head in front here toward the end. And, you know, she's going to be tough to handle, I think, in the Alabama going even a longer trip. But pretty deep group of horses.
What, was it in here or there that George Weaver said that didn't last long? Because he said after just nudging out the win at Royal Ascot, he said, well, I'll never complain about a bad beat again.
Yeah,
but
no.
I wasn't happy with that result.
Happy. Yeah, he was sitting at the funny part. And you watch where people – I have the luxury of kind of watching where people watch races, you know. And he was right in the box at the top of the steps, the front row, by himself somehow. And he was up and cheering like anybody would be. I mean, hands up. Come on. And, you know, Sacred Wish ran huge, you know, and did everything she was supposed to do, and then just got caught by another brave filly. So that's what Saratoga's about.
I also want to, and again, looking in the latest issue, talk a little bit about, I mentioned it on the handicapping show earlier. I said I'd have you tell the story, and people can pick up the paper and read the full story. It's your column, Wet Paint, and the story behind the name. I was glad. That's a great story.
Yeah, Dan Prive with Godolphin told it in the Winner's Circle, and then I got a little bit of a luxury where we had a couple of days to do this paper, and Tammy Masterson, who works for Godolphin, was here when Essential Quality won the Travers, and they were leaving the track on the way out, and as Saratoga does, they paint the silks on those jockeys out in front by the Rice Street gate. I don't know if they do it for every Grade One immediately, but they definitely do it for the Travers immediately. Like, it had just been painted.
Tammy same idea as the cupola at Churchill.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's the evening of the Travers. Tammy Masterson sees the jockey, doesn't realize it has been freshly painted, and went to pose for a photo, but put her hand right on the jockey's back and had Godolphin blue hand all over it. So it was fun. It was fun to talk to her.
People are yelling at her.
Yeah, people
and
are all
the painter is sitting there out their chair.
Yeah, she sent me some photos, and I didn't. We used a simple one, but the painter is in the background, like, oh no, and the next day, the jockey statue had a wet paint. They had touched up the handprint on his back and put a wet paint sign on, and Godolphin filed it away. And the name fits the horse's breeding anyway, but it's a great story, great tale behind how it all happened.
It really is, and that's in your column today. And the columns are always a lot of fun, and. Handicapping is going well also. I always tell people to pick up the handicapping. Chapazian and Tom Law and others in there all doing very well this year. And we should remind people that the special comes out kind of alternating days, but the handicapping, the picks can be found online every day.
Yeah, the picks, they handicap every day. day of racing at Saratoga. So the in-between day, days we don't publish, they're on their website. It's thisishorseracing.com. It'll be the lead story at the top on those days. Wednesday and Saturday is the paper, plus the sort of run through the sales where we do six in a row. But yeah, John Chapazian is firing out winners like he normally does. Rob Whitlock is right up there. Tom seems to always spot everybody a few lengths early on because he's, in his words, dealing with logistical morass of setting up our office and golf carts and paper racks and paper boxes and interns and all the things we have to do. So he'll make a rally, I think.
He had a good one in the here and there as well, where your brother Sean needs a comma intervention.
Apparently, like yes. That. Yeah, that's Tom. We're sort of in a couple different rooms. The office isn't that big, but you'll hear a voice from the other side where Tom will say, "You need a comma intervention."
I like that. This week's schedule with the special.
So the Wednesday's out today with a new one, and the next one will be Saturday with a preview in the big Saturday card and catching up from the couple races this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And then sales week's always
all week long. Sales week we kick back in and do 6 days in a row, the 4th through the 9th, I believe it is. But it's pretty much a Wednesday, Saturday schedule, and we get a lot of feedback that people miss the old days of 4 and 5 papers a week, and we do too in a way, but it would be way too. We'd probably have to triple our ad rates to pay the print bill to do that much. And it's also, you go get stories like we did here where you're able to go tell that wet paint story a little better, tell some of these other stories a little better. Tom found the owner of the Roses for Deborah, you know, and could tell that story a little better, which is what we're all about, trying to do that.
Yeah, and again, for folks who aren't familiar, you kind of come at some of these stories from a different angle than you're going to find it in other papers. So it's always a lot of fun to pick up the special. So again, you can find it on the track. You can pick it up around town as well. But if you're not in the area, thisishorseracing.com is the website. Or if you type Saratoga Special in Google,
you'll find it.
Yeah, no problem there. Before we get to today, also want to touch on any thoughts on the Haskell. And then going back to the Curlin up here, because I thought that was a decent performance that may play into the Travers. But the Haskell just continued the go rocket ride with the win. Just, it's like, where is this 3-year-old crop at this point?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, I guess the bright side to look at it is there's a lot of talent out there because they keep trading wins and nobody's sort of seized it. And go rocket ride, I think the lesson learned there is when the Mandela barn ships from California to New Jersey, you better pay attention, or to New York or wherever, you know. I think live horses like that. And then we saw the Curlin, that Scotland was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought so.
I can say I didn't know that much about him watching that race. He was like, okay, he just threw his hat in the ring, I think, a little bit too.
I liked him, and I think, given the win and the way the 3-year-old crop is this year, he becomes interesting.
Yeah.
And also, Mandela said he's likely not coming back for the
Which was an interesting thought when you read it. That you're like, oh, okay. You know, and maybe take on older horses, you know, out there, which would be very
Forte interesting. Forte worked well the other day. So the Travers now becoming – Jim Dandy and into the Travers is becoming interesting. And then maybe the Pennsylvania Derby is going to help sort things. Somewhere it's going to sort out.
We're not sure when or whatever. And I guess it's a little like last year where Epicenter kind of jumped up and won the Jim Dandy, won the Travers, and said, you know, planted his flag.
So we'll see how that all works out. All right, let's get to the jump race today. And when you sat down, you told me, unfortunately, I thought I was going to have a little fun today with Gold. And I was going to pull up the replay, but you said Gold is scratched. And when I pulled up the replay last night to look at it and send it to the guys in the control room, Bernie Dalton was looking back the whole time. And I thought, oh, he looks good. He's got a ton of horse. It's a layoff, but I was going to look at Gold. But you tell me Gold is scratched, the 5, and also the 7 Top Brass is out. So now I'm left 3-6, the 1 entry, and 7. I'm, you know, kind of going logical here with another horse that won big in the last start, Hoffman on top. Beat LeBon for Jack Fisher off a big win is interesting, too. What do you see in today's opener over the jumps?
Yeah, the 2 scratches take it down to 5 betting interest, which makes it a little tricky. I think it might be one of the, at least the early part of the race, might be one of the fastest jump races we've seen at Saratoga, that Hoffman and Beat LeBon are both, you know, confirmed kind of front runners. Hoffman, actually, he won by a long way in his last race, and there are some of those race courses have they don't necessarily have an inside running rail. They might have a you know, they have we call them beacons or whatever, but he went to the wrong side of one, and that's got disqualified. It didn't actually help him win the race. He was going to win anyway, but he got disqualified, which is the only reason he's allowed in this race.
I should have mentioned that. He was DQ'd, but the non-winners are two.
Two, yeah.
That's what I figured with the line is DQ'd off course, and I figured he probably was inside a cone.
Yeah,
or something.
Went to the wrong, and there they have a big wooden structure, really, and he went to the left of it and needed to go to the right of it.
Tried to do an Xavier Perez.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure. But the horses, he was so far in front, a little, not erratic, but he was strong and not going. He's green. That race, again, it doesn't really say it in the form. That was restricted to 4-year-olds only. So it's a bunch of sort of newcomer type horses. And he maybe got out in little wide open spaces, wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and went to the wrong side. That being said, he did it. He was in command the whole way, and it'll be interesting to see what they do here. I like that he kind of, I would hope they had him on the farm doing a little more with him, teaching him some things, steer rate a little better. I mean, he can win on the lead, but beat Laban, he won on the lead in his maiden race, and then I know Jack Fisher put him away for a race like this, so that's an interesting angle. If the two of them hook up, I don't know what the scenario is. They're going to be running and jumping fast. I'm going another direction slightly with the 1A L'Imperator for Arch Kingsley. I love the flat form. It's miles above the rest of these guys. He ran into Bowling Green here last year with Chad Brown and was competitive. Won a grade two on the turf in the Fort Marcy. His maiden win I thought was really good. It was sort of a slow pace. He sat in behind. That was the race at Nashville in May and kind of came on and ran by everybody late. Won a head bob, but really had to dig in and do it well. And I wish that he ran in the Belmont Gold Cup and did not run well. He kind of got lit up and ran off midway through the race. I hope he doesn't do that. But I think he's somebody to think of behind the others. But you're right. The three and the six to me are players for sure. The other horse, Modus Operandi, the other half of the entry, kind of like flat horses. You see these horses who've run against winners a couple times, and you might mark them up. He was second in a non-winners of two in May, a pretty good non-winners of two in May. And the next time he was fourth, 2 weeks later, but maybe that was a little tight for him. Think about it the way you would a flat horse who wins a maiden race, shows up against winners the next time. It might take him one or two to then graduate where he's running against more experienced horses.
And we alluded to it. If folks weren't catching on in the handicapping show, we mentioned Mr. Connecticut. And if you look down, you see it was trained by Christoph Clement. And we kind of tied it into Acacia Courtney. If folks don't know, she was Mrs. Connecticut. And being in the Clement stable, they thought, well, we'll be clever. We'll name this one.
I don't think they thought he'd run over jumps at Saratoga the next year. But he's done well. Julie Gomina bought him as a jump prospect and then lost him to Acclaim the first time she ran him, and then Ricky Hendricks won with him the next time. And again, he's sort of stepping up a little bit. One, it was in a maiden claimer, then he won her starter maiden and going up against some pretty salty maiden special winners. Again, just the same logic you would use on the flat. If you're looking at a horse coming into a race, what kind of race was that? And you see that he won a starter maiden where these other horses won maiden special.
That's where the puzzle in the jumper. I always say, I love the jumpers. Have fun handicapping the jumpers. I think you can handicap them just the way you handicap normal races. But the difference to me is over these different courses, it's hard to compare times, and the conditions are a little bit different as well.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't help themselves where some of these races like that, you can't tell that it's – they need to do a better job telling you that's a restricted race.
Yeah.
So that Hoffman race is a restricted race he won last time. There were three or four maidens who have yet to win behind him. It's not like he was in a he did it really nicely, but it wasn't necessarily the toughest spot, I guess, put it that way. And sometimes that doesn't always show up. Yeah, you do need to look at you can watch the replays at nationalsteeplechase.com. That helps. And again, we're trying to, like things like today, we're trying to educate
a little bit because
we know it's unfamiliar. I think at Saratoga and anytime we have jump races at racetracks, horses with flat form you've got to pay attention to. And that's where I am with L'Imperator. I mean, his flat form is really good.
And over the years, I've liked horses that use the flat race in prep. You can kind of tell, we're going to Saratoga, let's just go down to Delaware maybe and we'll run third in a flat race.
And Arch Kingsley's actually had several horses here all summer. So he's been here where a lot of the other guys are shipping back and forth to Maryland or Pennsylvania. He's been training here, which I think it's got to help a little. Didn't have to take the van ride like some of them did.
Arch, a former jump jockey.
Jump jockey, yep. And he jumps up and runs some – jumpers run well, and occasionally he'll jump up with some flat horses that are competitive too.
So that's today's opener. And again, appreciate the thoughts from one of the Clancy brothers who have been focused on steeplechase through much of their writing career. But now, of course, the Saratoga special. You get some steeplechase info there, but plenty, plenty more. Pick it up on track, around town, or at thisishorseracing.com. Again, Joe, always appreciate the visit from you and the team.
Awesome.
Thanks
no,
for
thanks
stopping
for
by.
Us. Yeah, we love it. And again, hopefully we can shed a little light on how it all works.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We'll head to a break. When we come back, Kevin Cox is in the house. He'll take a look at some of the action for this afternoon. A little bit later on, we'll talk more steeplechase with Bill Gallo, Director of Racing for the National Steeplechase Association. That's all coming up. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. We will now jump into some handicapping for this afternoon as we're joined by our friend Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. You see him doing the plays of the day here on the network as well. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Happy to have you on board. I'm doing well on a beautiful day like this. What could be better?
You know, I was just sitting there on a picnic table, and if you just allow yourself to not think about anything for a couple of minutes. It's one of the most beautiful spots on the track.
Yeah, no, it's back here. The horse is working out. The birds chirping. So far, knock wood, the guy with the leaf blower across the street has not shown up. So life is very good, certainly. Let me get some of your opinions going back to last weekend. We talked at the top of the show. Scotland in the Curlin, I think, puts himself into the three-year-old picture that is totally up in the air. I thought the comeback from Ness was very good. I like Clairiere. She was just up against it, chasing Nest in the stretch, and wet paint looked
good. I was shocked on the odds in that race. I thought Nest would have been favored because of the deeper two-turn experience in Clairiere.
And the Saratoga record.
Yeah, Saratoga. There were more angles with Nest. I was, when is 4-5 a gift, I thought, after the race.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. I think you're saying something that I heard over there a lot on Sunday as well. But I also tossed in wet paint. I think she throws herself firmly. The three-year-old filly picture is a little more defined, but I think she now moves into firmly into the conversation.
Absolutely.
And I thought she looked good on Saturday, certainly, with a nice little late run there. So I thought it was a nice weekend of racing and 2 weeks in the book. Any notable action or thoughts?
Well, with Jose Ortiz having to had to take a couple of days off because of a spill, if Irad stays healthy from here on out, the way he's winning races, he's, like I said earlier, he's probably going to win by a dozen, if not more, unless he has to ship out of town for any of the big races. I don't think there's anything that is on board for him shipping out, but he's in a different galaxy right now.
Yeah, I heard because Kentucky Downs is going to overlap a little bit with the end of Saratoga, and with the purses they put up there, you know, some of these jocks may head out. Somebody, I guess, asked Irad, "You going to do any Kentucky Downs?" He's like, "No, he's good here." So, and he's online for to maybe have the record. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I talked about in the handicapping show earlier, 2 weeks in, he's got 21 wins. Number two is sitting at 9.
You know, I would love if there was a type of wager where you can bet on the jockeys like you would in a regular race. The top three, the triple, the exacta, things of that sort, do it paramutually. But that's too forward-thinking for horse racing. We can't think about that.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty good. Because you get a little value going against Irad some races, in all races.
Right, but even if you like him on top, you close him in an exacta, then all of a sudden Jose misses 3 days. Now somebody else creeps up into second. I don't know. I'm just babbling.
No, I like that. I like that idea. All right, let's get to some action this afternoon. We'll kick things off. Thoughts in the third race. State Bred Maiden Specials going 5.5. Bonaventure Stables, one of our sponsors. I had Dan Collins on Sunday. Their Oceans Reserve looked really good winning Sunday afternoon. He talked a little bit about this horse on the show. I liked has one sibling that had one race but ran second, worked 10.2 before the sale. So I'm going to tilt a little bit with that one. With Irad on board, I had it 1, 7, 9, and 10. How did you see the third?
The rail is tough for a firster, obviously.
Yeah, no question.
But the extra half furlong, it's not 5 furlongs, it's 5.5, would help the one in that regards. This type of race is normally not in my wheelhouse, but the 7 kind of jumps off the page for obvious reasons. Drastic improvement from the first start to the second start. It was 11 lengths back at the quarter and came flying at the end to lose by just a length. And the show horse from that day came back a winner. The breeding is pretty good, which means that the result was likely not an aberration. And from a DRF formulator standpoint, Clement, or as I call him in my column, C-squared, from 5 starts, has 4 wins and a second, with maiden special weight turf sprinters who finished in the money 25 to 46 days ago, not getting LASIKs. And the winners came back decently, $15, 7, and 2 of them paid 4. Here's the key. The horse gets off the rail. That is a huge angle for me with maidens. You can find some big bombs there from horses that have ugly running lines. Just the fact that they get off the rail, even if it's to the 3-hole, but this one gets the 7 slot, and Joel should work out a better trip today. So the 7's my top choice. And then I went with the Bomber, second, number 6, Barefoot Disco. The only sibling to race in a turf sprint, finished 3rd out of 2 starts. It was a solid effort, displayed good coverage that day. The sire won a lot on the turf. Disco Partner, as you know, multiple stakes wins, including a grade 2 win, I believe, in the Jaipur. And the Dam won first time out. And Charlie Baker's horses usually have some speed in them, so I wouldn't be surprised if this one jazzed things up underneath. And for 3rd, I'm on the outside looking in. I don't know, the scratches are out yet. Who knows? I put in the 13, Dorth's Soul Dancer. Candy Ride was 2 for 2 on the turf. There's a Bullet Gate Breeze on the ledger, and that's something that always merits inclusion with me. When I show a bullet from the gate, because as you may or may not know out there, most horses work out from a running start, not from the gate. So if you break it from the gate, technically you're about 1.5 to 2 seconds slower at the minimum. So my selections there were 7, 6, 13, and you said you landed on 179?
Yeah.
You said 179. Okay.
So I like the 7, too. Experience counts, and that was a nice improvement. Moved to the turf last time, and the Graham makes perfect sense. But it's interesting, you're using the 6 and the 13. I have other horses. This is a race that I think will be fun to play around with a little bit.
Plus, the fact with Graham that Clement put her against the boys first time out, it was probably just a throwaway race, just to get experience.
Get one
under
the belt, yeah. So the 3rd, interesting. 8th race this afternoon. We're looking at State Bred Optional Claimers. Non-winners 2 other than the condition. 9 furlongs the trip. I went 5, 1, 2, and 6. I used Sweet Mystery on top, not with a lot of confidence. I could have juggled up mine in here. Cinderella's Cause, I thought, may offer a little bit of value on the inside with Manny. Has been kind of moving backwards with finishing position, but I think matches up nicely with this group. And then Amanda's Folly, kind of logical for owner-trainer Linda Rice in there. I went 5-1, 2-6. How'd you see the eighth?
Well, if you're following Seth and I today, you're going to hit the six-card straight because I have three completely different numbers here, which, of course, means that the seven will win. Yes, you landed on 5-1-2, and I landed on, let me give it another flip here, 3-4-6, which actually makes sense for a race like this because one thing I wrote on the top of the page was that if ever a Finger Lakes Shipper was going to win a race up here, it would be this type of race with no clear standouts. Now, if you put your finger over the part of the page where it says what track the horses came from, their numbers kind of match up. Yeah. I'm talking about number three, Eero's Girl here. The numbers kind of match up. They're comparable to everybody else in here. Excellent form over the last five races, three of them going back to last year. Lost by just a length, less than a length, in his last third off the layoff situation and was bumped in that race. And the trainer was 2-for-3 stretching out with dirt runners that finished in the money 10 to 27 days ago. With Koa aboard, $4.13 they paid. And that's key that he's coming down to ride today from Finger Lakes, yeah, even though they're racing up there. So a kid like that, I don't know, I'm showing my age, I don't know how old he is. But
well, we remember when his dad was out. So to us, it he is the kid.
There were jockeys where I said, I hung out with your dad. You know, it's wild. But he could probably ride most of the card up there on a day like today.
Yeah, so he's riding very well at Finger Lakes, too.
He is riding well up there. So he has one on the also eligible that I picked earlier that may not get in. So he drove down here essentially for this horse in a $100,000 pot. So three is my first choice. Second selection is number four, OK Honey. This is one of those horses that in my column I'll say toss in the unders, the unders. The horse is notorious nibbler, as I say. 49 starts on a fast track. One win, 12 seconds, 7/3, and 9/4 for your superfecta plays. So not the kind of horse you really want to put on top unless something really stands out. Lost to Valleluja, is that how you say the horse's name? Bobby Davis's horse?
Hallelujah. Valleluja. I think I'm going with that. But
the feel-good story last time out. You got to leave the horse underneath. The trainer's on an 0-for-89 streak, which is also another reason to kind of put Chachley on top these days. So the number four is my third choice. Number six, BB's Busted. Goes for the hat trick today. Who says it can't happen? Another Finger Lakes Shipper. And just look at the speed figures. I mean, Saratoga handicappers have a tendency to be a bit snobbish with these Canandaigua Shippers and just toss them out by rote. But in a race like this, you're going to get excellent value if you use them. Shoots for the hat trick. Davis hops on, and the combination does better than a part. I like to pay attention to the jockey trainer stats comparable to their regular stats. If they both win a 20% and then they win a 20% together, nice. But if you see they're 4 or 5 points higher than their normative batting averages, then it's good to toss in. So I'm 3-4-6, and Seth is 5-1-2, so send it in on a 7, I guess, with Dalton Brown.
I will say, your top horse, Eros's Girl, an angle I have liked for years and years. I read about it years and years ago, and it plays out nicely and sometimes at a nice little price. This horse is the third start of the season, and this angle doesn't necessarily have to be the seasonal debut, but if a horse gets a little bit of a break, third start back from the break, the first two starts were sprints, and the third start back, they stretched the two turns. It has worked out well, not every time, but over the years, it's worked out very well for me, and as I say, can often offer some value.
Now, to suffix on that, if you look, Ferraro, not Jimmy, the other one, did the exact same angle with this horse, if you look back on the bottom of the page. Two sprints off the layoff, a route in the New York Oaks, no less, had the lead at the top of the stretch and lost by 3/4 of a length. So he's used this angle with this horse in the past. It's
very
not
good.
Like he used it with the horse 8 years ago.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go on to the finale today. Race number 10, State Bred Maiden Claimers, going a mile and 16th on the grass. This was my dark horse play of the day. I'm interested to see where you go in here. I used all of the number five, who I think has to improve a little bit, but not much. And I think being lightly raced, that's possible. To me, the horse to beat is probably the number three, Vince the Prince. But I went 5, 3, 7, and 8.
That's an interesting selection by you. Broke from the rail last time out, 7 wide. Probably a few points better than shows on the page. I went with 11-3-8. This is one of the few races that I'm lucky enough to have up here where I have narrowed down to only three horses, where one of them should be not worse than third, or show grinders out there, as I like to say, and the other two, the ones that upset the apple cart. The 11, Your Mission, is a notorious money burner. Lost five straight times as a favorite. But with a couple of other solid runners in here, you're going to get 7-2, 4-1. So this might be the time you get paid on a horse that set your money on Fuego in the past. Like we just mentioned, third start off the layoff. Made the superfecta in his last four starts. And look at the trouble last time out. Steady at the start, ran on, showed good courage. Before that, taken up break, circled five wide. So look at that third of the layoff with a clean trip, hopefully, with Lascano getting on, who's riding in good form. Second choice is the number 8, Conquest. Really inconsistent. I mean, if you look at the page, it's apples and oranges with this horse at times. Solid last time out, almost went all the way at 3-1. And as I've mentioned to you before, know him early, but have the Pepto-Bismol handy late, as the horse has a tendency to lose ground. Third start off the layoff, as we mentioned. And like you mentioned, Vince the Prince, my third choice. Big drop. Best effort came at two turns. And Kendrick is also riding in decent form these days and stretches back out to that two-turn difference and drops back. Drops down from a stakes race to a maiden claimer. So that's even farther down than a special weight to a maiden claimer. So I'm 11-3-8.
And as you were talking, the more I'm looking at your 11, I'm going to have to throw the 11 in. I added it to my page. I'm going to throw the 11 in.
There was, wise man.
Yeah, there were some things to like there. So, and I have a couple prices in the mix. I don't want to get beat with another one that may offer some value. I think that 10th will be a nice little walkout race that maybe people can make a little something-something with.
Absolutely.
Kevin, appreciate it, as always. And, again, folks can check out your play today. You alternate with Steve Bick with the plays of the day on the handicapping show. We appreciate that as
Fridays
well.
Fridays and Saturdays. I had it roll last time.
Fridays and Saturdays you're in, so we'll be checking that out throughout the meet. And we'll have you in here a few more times as well to do a little handicapping additionally on Racing Across America. But we appreciate the visit this morning. Good luck this afternoon.
And, of course, the column can be found on this website and three other websites as well.
Very good. All right. Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy. We'll take a break. When we come back, Bill Gallo, Director of Racing at the National Steeplechase Association. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Back to Racing Across America, live from Saratoga. And every year at Saratoga, we have to have him over because one of my favorite parts of Saratoga, the jump races, and he is the director of racing for the National Steeplechase Association. It's our friend Bill Gallo. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the jump races. And why don't we just start out by let's talk about Saratoga. What's the schedule up here this year? We have already had a grade one kicking things off last week, the Smithwick. What goes on from here?
Yeah, it's our normal schedule up here for the last 3 or 4 years, which is one race every Wednesday, the first race, 110 post, 7 weeks in a row. You're right, we kicked off with our top-level horses, grade one horses, so we run the Smithwick. We just ran that last week, and we bring the same race back, grade one Jonathan Shepherd, a month later. So we run our grade one horses twice. We run two novice stakes races. And then we have three allowance races like the one here today. And then we follow that up opening day at Aqueduct. We've got a nice novice race and another grade one, the Lonesome Glory, which are preludes to the our championship day in October 21st in Far Hills, New Jersey. So the NIRA program is essential for us, really, as we move on into our season, particularly with our better horses.
Yeah, I've been coming here for years and years and years, and I've appreciated the jump races, and I think a lot of other people do as well. People get confused and think the handicap, I handicap it just like a regular race and seem to do very well. That said, we just saw the stretch run. I did not handicap that well on the Smithwick last week. With Belfast Banner getting it done for Cyril Murphy at 16-1. A little bit of an upset, but again, things kind of fell apart on the front end, and it was a nice late run from Belfast Banner.
The horse ran the best he's ever run in America. Yeah. I think Cyril Murphy probably knew a little bit more than the rest of us, but he was sitting on a good race. He was Cyril's a quiet kind of guy, but he was quietly confident. I could tell even before the race and then certainly afterwards in the interviews. He's a very nice imported horse owned by our leading owner, Irv Naylor. He was fairly lightly weighted. He got down into the mid-40s. He carried 144 last week. He's certainly going to carry considerably more next time. So the next time in the Shepherd, it's going to be a test. I did talk to Cyril just yesterday, and he indicated that that's what they're shooting for. He didn't say anything about the weight. He'll be crabbing about that later.
Yeah, give him a chance. You mentioned Irv Naylor, and I went to the website yesterday and pulled up the current standings. Irv Naylor currently leading River D. Yeah. Sean Clancy sitting second as far as owners' money won. Trainers, races won. It's Leslie Young over traditional leader, at least in recent years, Jack Fisher. I mean, we go back. I'm a big Jonathan Shepherd guy, and suitably he had the stakes race named after him after a great career. Training. And then on the rider side of things, Barry Foley is the leading rider. Well, he's actually tied with Biswick with 9 wins apiece on the rider one side. Give us a little feeling for the human side of the game so far this season.
We've got three dominant stables for sure. Leslie Young, Terry Breon, and Jack Fisher. As you know, Shepherd dominated our game for decades, literally. He kind of passed the baton about 10 or 12 years ago over to Fisher. Fisher's had a wonderful run, of course, and inducted into the Hall of Fame as well. Now it seems like the baton is changing again, perhaps, and the two gals on top actually, Breon is off to a rather slow start for her. She has a mixed stable, many flat horses and jumpers. Young is predominantly jumpers. But she's had 22 winners so far this spring, so she's on record pace to be the leading trainer again this year. And Fisher, he's not as loaded as he normally is, but the horses he has are very, very good horses, including Snap Decision, who's, in fact, I saw Fisher this morning, and he indicated that Snap Decision's going to, he's got penciled in the Lonesome Glory at Belmont in September, which would be great. That'd be a great stepping stone for Far Hills Grand National.
You talk about passing the baton. Carrie was a former.
Absolutely. And she's
formerly worked with Jonathan Shepherd.
Yeah. She went from, you know, an assistant to Jonathan. When Jonathan retired, she had a very small stable of 6 or 7. She's got 60 or 70 horses in training at Fair Hill. She's doing a terrific job, both over the jumps and on the flat as well.
Yeah. Jockey side, who should we watch?
Well, it's a mixed bag.
It's kind of by the yeah. They're all right there.
No real standouts. I mean, you mentioned Foley, you mentioned Beswick. Those are the two hot guys right now. Beswick had a really good spring. Foley has won his first grade one career-wise just last week, which was quite an accomplishment. Yeah. So he will be a desired jockey for the rest of the races up here. He's riding very well.
And again, went to the website yesterday and pulled up the schedule for the season. Obviously, one of the big early season, May, the Iroquois down at Nashville. But currently we're up here at Saratoga, obviously, but concurrently, there are steeplechase races being run at Colonial.
We've been busy, for sure. We race, obviously, the first Wednesday, every Wednesday here and every Friday at Colonial Downs. We have two races at Colonial
for
nine consecutive weeks, 18 races combined with the nine for Naira. That's a lot of racing for us in the summer. But it's a popular program down there. We run Maiden Starter, and the lower-level rating sources, so it doesn't conflict with the Saratoga inventory. But we're off to a good start down there. We hope we'll get a little break in the weather, temperature-wise, for Friday. They're talking about they have some concerns about it, and I should know something later today. But we're scheduled right now, first two races on Friday at Colonial.
So, as I say, concurrently, Saratoga and Colonial Downs, and it's fun to see these horses, you know, on an actual racing track. Most of the time it's a hunt meet, and going down to some of those hunt meets coming up a little bit later on. One I got to get out to, for folks in our area, Geneseo in October. There's a meet out there every year.
It's very different. It'll be very enjoyable. It's a day in the country. They got a great local crowd there. And different kind of racing. It's timber racing over post and rail fences. The races are longer. The horses go a little bit slower. They're typically older horses, but we've got a whole category of timber horses, and it's very popular in America. Not so much in Europe. America's the only country in the world that has timber racing, but it's our premier races, the Maryland Hunt Cup in the spring. But Genesee Valley's a fun race meet, fun day for the family, and anybody that's in the region should take a look at it.
Yeah, keep it in mind for the fall, again, October. And I would guess if you're kind of want to attract new folks who haven't been to a race meet at all, away from a racetrack, Far Hills is probably the place to go in October. You know, maybe Crown's a Champion, but also you can describe a little bit about what some of these meets are like. This one, as I say, is maybe the top of the heat, but you come, you tailgate, it's just a festive atmosphere. And as I say, Far Hills, right down in New Jersey, it's not a bad drive, and it comes up at the end of October.
Yeah, it's our championship day, as I said earlier, and all focus for our trainers is Saratoga, Belmont at Aqueduct, and on to Far Hills with our premier horses. You know, right now the Mean Queen is hoping to come back.
Speaking of Carrie?
Yep, speaking of Carrie Brion, and she's intended to run a Colonial and a Philly Stake on September 8th, and then springboard that into Far Hills. Far Hills, seven race card, all stakes races. It's a terrific, terrific day of racing.
And parimutuel wagering.
And parimutuel wagering. It's one of our few meets that does have parimutuel wagering. Of course,
which has been a nice addition to Far Hills.
Yeah, now Far Hills, and they did a $620,000 handle, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
All remote, all mobile, and without a whole lot of advanced publicity on it. So they're hoping to, you know, approach the $1 million mark this year, and I would not be surprised if they hit it.
And as you go there, I've never experienced. I got to get down at some point. But just looking at the pictures, that looks as you go through the tailgate area, people step it up a notch.
Yeah, it's there's two contests, the one on the race course and the one on the tailgates. It's very upscale. And then, you know, there's the lower end of it, too. You can just come and bring your family members and really enjoy the infield atmosphere. But it's a big, big day of racing. It's probably 40,000 people. So it's in Fox. Naira sends their Fox team. They did a phenomenal job last year. Richard Migliori and Acacia Clement came for the first time, and they were just blown away by the event. And all indications are that the Fox team, America's Day at the Racing, is coming back to Far Hills to do the entire car. So we're really thrilled about that.
And again, I enjoy the steeplechase races, and if other folks are coming up here and kind of learning the game and watching on Wednesdays and getting interested as well, you guys do a great job also with the website, and I'll tell people to swing by. It's NSA. It's nationalsteeplechase.com, nationalsteeplechase.com. But you can find out the schedule. You can do a little handicapping. You can also watch the replays. Absolutely. I think that's great to be able to, you know, because for me, that does help. I like to go back as I'm handicapping these races up in Saratoga and take a look at some of those. That's one of the reasons I like the scratch horse in the first race. I was watching the Maiden Breaker last year, and Bernie Dalton is looking back. The whole stretch, he's looking back saying, where's the competition? I thought, oh, he'll be interesting today. Unfortunately, he scratched. But the replays, it's a really good website. A lot of information.
We put a lot of effort into it. We revamped the whole thing a couple of years ago, and we get a lot of positive feedback. But the information is all there. It's at your fingertips, and I would encourage, we've got a great video archive, so you can literally find any race that we run.
And just also wanted to touch on the fact that if folks look in the program, they can see, Joe and I talked about it a little bit earlier, Horse Lake L'Imperator today. You look down the page, and this was a stakes performer on the flat. And that's worth mentioning a little bit, because a lot of these performers, it's kind of a second career, and that's become so important in the racing industry now. You know, they get done at 4 or 5, and they can have another 4 or 5 years over the jumps.
Yeah, our game's changing, too. The horses are better. They're more expensive. They're faster, and particularly when you get into a venue like Saratoga or Belmont at Aqueduct, it's just the nature of the game has changed rather dramatically over the years, not overnight, but over the years, and it's a faster game. Today you're going to see a very, very fast race. We've got two real speedballs in the race. Jack Fisher trains.
Let's talk about that, because yep. When you sat down, you said that, and Joe Clancy said it as well. I have it after the scratch. Again, I like gold, but after the scratch, I'm 3-6, the one entry and 7. And Joe said, yeah, Hoffman and Beat LeBon, the 3 and the 6 are likely to go out there and knock heads a little bit.
They only run one way, those two. And, you know, I don't know whether they're going to be side by side. One may get the lead and take off with the lead, and the other may take back. But if I had to guess, they'll both be on the front end, several lengths in front of the rest of the field. And who knows? I mean, you know, they may compromise each other, or one of them may run off the screen. But it'll be interesting. It's the fastest race we'll run up here. It's the shorter distance, 2 1/16 miles. They only jump 8
shorter
fences.
Distance.
It's the shorter distance. But they do, and this is another critical point, because you mentioned L'Imperator, his flat form. It's outstanding flat form for a jumper. When they jump the last fence down the backside, the 8th fence in the race, it's 5/8 of a mile to the wire. It's a flat race.
Yeah.
So a horse like that, you can't ignore those horses with solid pass back form, flat form. So I would not be surprised if you've got the two front runners and one or two horses taking a run at them late.
That Joe is tilting towards L'Imperator on that. These two maybe go out and kind of knock each other out a little bit. L'Imperator with that flat form and a little bit of a closing kick maybe gets it. So I may have to relook. Now, as I say, I'm now a move up with scratches, so my confidence already was a little shaken. But it'll be a fun race to watch. And I said it to Joe, speaking of L'Imperator, over the years handicapping up here, I've always liked the horses that, you know, down at Delaware maybe, try a little flat race.
Absolutely.
And run third and then come up here and get back to the jumps.
It's an old Jonathan Shepherd technique. Nobody did it better than him, and he would do exactly that. He put some speed into him on the flat, come up here, and dominate the jump game.
Yeah, and as they say, I was a Shepherd. People still make fun of me. Hey, you got a Shepherd horse in this afternoon? Unfortunately, I can't. But and as I said, it was appropriate that the grade one was named after him as well. Bill, again, I love the jump races. I know a lot of people are on the same page as I am up here, and I know that the whole jump community appreciates coming up here and being in front of the big. I mean, it has to be, like I say, some of these hunt meets, there are big enthusiastic crowds as well, but it has to be fun for the trainers and owners and jockeys to play in front of the big house.
It's our biggest exposure of the year. We really appreciate what NYRA does for us. Offering these races is enormous to our horsemen.
Yeah.
The purses are good and solid. We have 5 grade one races on our schedule all year. NYRA puts up 3 of them.
Yeah.
So we're thrilled and greatly appreciate.
Yeah. Bill, again, appreciate the visit this morning. Once again, I will tell people to check out nationalsteeplechase.com. You get more information, you get some handicapping information, you can get the schedule and maybe put one of those jump meets. The two that jump out at me, no pun intended, are Geneseo, which is, you know, right down the road. but then they're going in the other direction, go down to New Jersey for Far Hills, and put those on your schedule, both coming up in October. You will not regret it. It's a little bit different than being on the racetrack, but maybe more fun. Who knows?
I guarantee you they'll have a good time.
Bill, appreciate the visit. Thanks.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, we will wrap it up for this Wednesday morning on Racing Across America. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Handicappers Report, 10 a.m. for another edition of Racing Across America. So hopefully you'll tune in then. In the meantime, make sure to enjoy the races this afternoon. If you're coming up, it's going to be a gorgeous day, so keep that in mind. If you can't make it, go down to the Clubhouse Racebook, Easy Bet, one of our branches, Clubhouse Racebook today. There's a bankroll, so keep that in mind, a player's bankroll. A lot of fun coming up today and the remainder of the week, so enjoy it. And again, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Racing Across America. See you then.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.